God had been so good in providing for his chosen people, the Israelites. After 400 years of their slavery in Egypt, God hadn't forgotten about them. He called Moses to be his chosen servant, who would lead them out of their slavery and into the promised land. And even though Moses doubted his ability to carry out this work, God promised Moses that he would be there to strengthen and to equip him to carry out amazing things. And that's exactly what God did. Moses went to Pharaoh and demanded that he let God's people go. But Pharaoh, who had hardened his heart against God, refused to do so. And so God, through Moses, sent plague after plague, but Pharaoh continued to deny God's request. At least that was until God sent the final plague, the plague of the firstborn. And this was the Passover that killed all of the firstborn sons in the houses in Egypt, which didn't have the blood of the lamb smeared on the top of the door frames. The destruction this plague brought led Pharaoh to do what he so strongly fought against, to tell Moses to take the Israelites and leave. By God's grace, mercy and power, the Israelites were free. God had been so good in providing for his chosen people. But soon after Pharaoh let the Israelites leave, his hardened heart eventually led him to recognize what he had done. And he lost his entire workforce. And so, blinded by rage, Pharaoh decided to send his army after the Israelites to bring them back into Egypt. And this looked like a completely hopeless situation for the Israelites. I mean, they were a group of slaves running away from an army of trained soldiers. But you see, this was all a part of God's plan so that he could display his power. God had Moses stretch his hand over the Red Sea. And you can imagine the Israelites standing there in amazement as the winds came and swept up huge walls of water, giving them an escape route. And once they made it to the other side, God again had Moses stretch his hand over the sea, and the waters came crashing down on all of the Egyptians who had followed them. God had been so good in providing for his chosen people. And the Israelites praised and worshipped God for what he had done. But you see, this was only for a time. Because soon after this deliverance, the Israelites started to grumble and complain against God because they soon found themselves in a situation where they had no food and they had no water. But you see, throughout their entire time in the wilderness, God made sure to provide for the needs of his people. And well, God did that in many ways. One of the main ways that God did that was by providing them manna to eat for many years, and also by miraculously providing them with water. And both of these things to satisfy their hunger and to quench their thirst. And even through the Israelites grumbling and complaining, God had been so good in providing for his chosen people. Now, leading up to the verses before us this morning, we hear about an event that took place near the end of the Israelites' 40 years in the wilderness. They were starting to make their way to the promised land since it was nearing time for that to take place. And Moses sent some messengers to the king of Edom to ask him if the Israelites could travel through their land, which would give them a quicker route. The king of Edom, though, denied this request, which meant the Israelites had to take a longer detour in order to get to where they needed to go. And on this longer detour, a Canaanite king happened to take note of the Israelites walking around in the wilderness. And he attacked them. This king was probably thinking this was going to be the easiest victory his army had ever won, because there the Israelites were, a group of slaves, former slaves, who were weak from their travels. But you see, the Israelites prayed to God and trusted that he would deliver their enemy into their hands. And that's exactly what God did. God had been so good in providing for his chosen people. And again, the Israelites praised and worshiped God for what he had done. But soon after, well, this is what we hear about. The Israelites set out from Mount Hor along the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became very impatient along the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Look, there is no food, there is no water, and we are disgusted by this worthless food." And the pattern continued. The Israelites took a look at their lives and felt that even though God had been so good in providing for them for those past 40 plus years, they felt that God wasn't doing enough. They wanted to be at the promised land right here and right now, and so they grew impatient with God and Moses and lashed out against them. Because God and Moses, after all, were the ones who led them out of Egypt and into the wilderness. And as they looked at their current situation, they actually felt that their lives lived in Egypt were far better. Because even though it may have been lived in slavery, at least they had food and water there. But now, at this current time, God wasn't providing for these needs. At least, God wasn't providing for these needs in the way that they wanted him to. God, instead, was providing them manna to eat, day after day, year after year. But after eating the same thing for so long, the Israelites started to detest this food. And sure, God had been miraculously providing them with water time and time again, but this wasn't happening as frequently as the Israelites wanted it to happen, and God wasn't giving the water to them in the amount that they desired. Really, in this situation, the Israelites were thinking something like this: if you are the Almighty and all-powerful God, and if we are your chosen people, then don't you owe it to us to not only provide our necessities, but provide them in the way that we want them? And we can empathize with the Israelites, can't we? We all have various needs that we bring before God and pray to him about. Maybe it's the aches and the pains that are brought on by the health problems that we face in this life. Maybe it's the financial issues, the unforeseen medical, car, house bills that came out of nowhere that leave us in a difficult situation. Maybe it's the mental health problems that can keep us from functioning in the various vocations that we have in this life, or keep us from enjoying the blessings that we have in this life. Whatever needs we may have, we bring them before God, because we know that he is the Almighty and all-powerful God. We know that he listens to us, and we know that God has promised to provide for us. But as the weeks, months, or even years pass by, as you're praying to God for this need, whatever it may be, can't we begin to grow impatient with God? Because as the weeks, months, and years continue to pass by, it can start to feel as though God is just pushing off our request. And this can cause our frustration to grow, and like the Israelites, it can maybe even reach a boiling point where we lash out against God and accuse him of not providing for our necessities and accuse him of not being the loving, gracious God that he claims to be. And while we might feel justified in making these accusations, as our verses continue, we see what sinful thoughts like this truly need. And God heard the demands from the Israelites, but instead of giving them what their hearts so desired, God gave the Israelites what they truly needed. The Lord sent venomous snakes among the people, and the snakes bit the people. As a result, many people from Israel died. While God's action here might seem cruel and unfair, understand that God did this out of love, care, and concern for his people. I mean, God had proven time and time again that they could trust in him to provide for all of their needs. And yet time and time again, they continued to grumble and complain against him. And so God allowed the Israelites to suffer so as to give them a wake-up call. And like the Israelites, God also allows us to suffer at times, but God has good reason for doing so. That in allowing us to suffer, it allows us to take an honest look at our lives and to see how our sinful natures so impact us. To see how our sinful natures can lead us to grow impatient with God and to lash out against him. But when we come to recognize this in our hearts, God then wants us to direct our eyes to him and to see him as a God who truly does provide for us, who truly does care for us, and as a God who allows us to suffer at times so as to lead us to repentance. And this is exactly what happened with the Israelites in the situation they were in. The people then went to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take the snakes away from us." The Israelites came to their senses. They recognized how their sinful hearts led them to lash out against God, and they confessed their sins. And notice, as we see how the Israelites responded here, that they then didn't demand God to take the snakes away from them. No, they simply trusted and believed that the God who had been providing for them throughout their entire time in the wilderness would do so once again. And when our impatience gets the best of us, let us also be led to repentance. Because in doing so, like the Israelites, we will then come to our senses and recognize that our God truly does care for and provide for all of our needs right here, now, and today. And we'll also see that our God is the one who provides for all of our future needs as well. God, in allowing the Israelites to suffer, served the purpose of leading them to repentance. And with repentant hearts, it led them to go to Moses and to pray to him, to talk to God, to pray to God, and ask him to take the snakes away from them. And while God had no reason to grant this request, we see that God actually does something far more amazing. When Moses prayed on behalf of the people, the Lord said to Moses, "Make a venomous snake and put it on a pole. If anyone who is bitten looks at it, he will live." Now Moses and the Israelites were probably confused hearing what God had just told them here because it made no sense. And there was no medical explanation as to how looking at a snake on a pole could cure anything. But because this is what God had called them to do, well, we hear that Moses made a bronze snake and put it on the pole. And if a snake had bitten anyone, if that person looked at the bronze snake, he lived. God gave them a promise. And through their God-given faith, they directed their eyes to the snake on the pole, and anyone who looked to it lived. God did exactly what he promised to do. But you see, God hasn't only done this for the Israelites. God has also done the exact same thing for you and for me. We actually heard about this in our gospel reading for today, where Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus, a Pharisee, telling him how one enters the kingdom of heaven. Where Jesus told Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I mean, Jesus compares how the Israelites back then looked to the snake on the pole and lived, to how Christians here, now, and today look to Christ on the cross and receive eternal life. And in both instances, the reason the one who looks receives life is because God has attached a promise that Jesus told Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God promises that all those who look to the cross of Christ and trust in him as their Savior from sin through their God-given faith will receive eternal life. So where are you looking for the hope of your salvation? Our sinful natures, of course, want us to look inwards at ourselves, at the things that we do in all kinds of earthly indications. But you see, all these earthly places that we might look to will just lead us on a path towards eternal suffering and hell. Let's instead direct our eyes to the one place where eternal life can truly be found, the cross. And it might not make sense from an earthly perspective. I mean, how can looking to the man who died on the cross 2,000 years ago benefit us in any way here, now, and today? But you see, it's because the man on the cross was God himself in the flesh. And as he was hanging there on the cross, he was suffering punishment that the sins of the world deserved. So as we look to Christ on the cross, we're seeing our greatest need, our greatest spiritual need of sin being met. Because it was through that sacrificial death that all of our sins have been washed away. And you can know this is true because God promised it to you. God promised that he was going to send a Savior. God promised that Christ was going to live perfectly in your place. God promised that Christ was going to shed his holy and precious blood to forgive you all of your sins. And God promised that this Savior was going to rise 3 days later from the grave to prove his victory over death and to grant you eternal life in heaven. God truly has been so good to each and every one of us. He not only promises to provide everything that we need here now on this earth, but God has also promised to provide for our greatest spiritual need, sending his own Son into this world so that he could be lifted up on the cross, so that all those who look to him will receive eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.